Today's program is brought to you by Firesider, a health tonic based on the traditional New England cure-all of raw apple cider vinegar and honey. For more information, visit firesider.com.
I'm Damon Bolte, host of The Speakeasy. You're listening to Heritage Radio Network, broadcasting live from Bushwick, Brooklyn. If you like this program, visit heritageradionetwork.org for thousands more.
So you don't shun the devil with your rock and roll, Lord. Knows that country music's gonna save your soul. The devil runs his groove in them rhythm and blues that sin. It's gonna get you some in the end.
Welcome back to The Speakeasy. I'm your host, Damon Bolte. And I just want to say that this is it's a very nice day today. Getting started right. And my guest today is no stranger to the show. Actually, well, it's been a year and a couple of weeks.
Just over a year since I was here.
Yeah. And I'd like to welcome back my good buddy Souther Teague. Welcome back, man.
Dude, I'm so excited to be here. Thank you.
Yeah, man. I mean, you've been running around a lot lately. So I know you almost missed the show today by way of a delayed flight.
That's right. I just flew in from Atlanta. Boy, are my arms tired.
God damn it. I was hoping you weren't going to use that joke, but Jesus Christ. All right. Okay, well, all right. So much for getting off to a good start.
come on, man.
So, wait, what were you doing in Atlanta, man?
So, my bar, Amore Amargo, in the East Village of New York, we're doing what we call AYA Goes South. Amore Amargo Goes South, and it's a tour of southern cities where we go down and we take over a bar for the night, and then we do a USBG meeting the day after where I give a talk about, you know, some of the stuff we're going to talk about today, Bitters, Amaro. And it's been wildly successful. Last night was the fourth city. We have one more to go that's confirmed, but then now we've been asked to do AYA Goes West. So looking towards California and Texas next.
Awesome.
So, yeah, we've done Charleston at a bar called Proof, which was the kickoff, and it was amazing. That town is amazing. That the sort of cocktail culture that's going on there is still burgeoning, but it's taking off. People are really into it. And that's the other thing. We're going to these smaller market cities, frankly, because we want to bring our bar and our ethos to the people. You know, my bar, you've been there many times, it's tiny, and it's packed all the time. And it's in New York. And if you don't live in New York, it's hard to get to. And if you do live in New York, it's hard to get in. So we're taking the bar to the people. We're doing these pop-ups in bars that are much larger than my bar. And this being super well received. So we did Charleston, then we went down to Tampa for Repeal Day and did our pop-up at the Mandarin Hyde over in St. Petersburg. Then we did Nashville, and then last night we did Atlanta, which is a town that I used to live in, so that was fun to kind of revisit.
Yeah, I heard it was wildly.
Yeah, this was the most successful one. Yeah, sold out is a weird word, but that's the word we put on it because we don't sell tickets or anything like that. We just announced that we're coming, you know, a couple weeks in advance, and we come down and set up and just rock it out. The Atlanta show, if you want to call it that, we sold out of 100% of our product in 1 hour and 45 minutes of what was supposed to be a 4 hour takeover.
That's fucking crazy. Man.
We opened the doors to around, before we opened the doors, friends of the bar, it was a bar called SOS, currently occupies the space. It's a tiki bar, occupies the space. It used to be a place called Paper Plane. It's brand new. It's only about 3 months old. And before we even opened the doors, like friends of SOS were already in the bar, about 20 of them. And then, you know, we're setting up and getting ready, and 8 o'clock is sort of go time. We open the doors, about 70 more people waiting outside, so about 90 people attacked us right away. An hour and 45 minutes in, we were completely out of product. All this is sponsored by Fratelli Branca, so it's Fernet Branca, Carpano Antica.
Good people.
Yeah. Punta Mez, like a lot of great stuff on the menu that we can use and stuff that we use in the house at Amore Margo anyway, so... Mm-hmm. And I'm really humbled and kind of overwhelmed sometimes at the response that we're getting because, you know, what we do at Amore Margo, I'm going to give the listener kind of a thumbnail of what we do. It's really unique. And I think everybody who owns a bar says that about their bar, but I'm going to prove it. We don't use any sugar, we don't use any juice, and we don't shake any drinks. My bar means love and bitters, Amore Margo. I've got about 200, maybe closer to 225 tincture bitters on the bar. I'm pushing the envelope of about 110 potable bitters, like some of the ones we're going to taste here today. And I do all this in a 240 square foot room, and we just destroy it every night, even though, you know, we don't have all the things that other bars have. We don't use sugar, we don't use juice, we don't shake any drinks. It's really unique. So to have people come out, it's pretty humbling in a powerful way that people are really, you know, we're going to be 5 years old in March.
Yeah.
We had no expectation of going this long. We in fact started the place as a pop-up.
Yeah, I remember that, and it's like such a fucking wild idea, man. And right. like incredibly wild, and I love the place. Obviously, like you
Thank
said
you.
Before, I've been there quite a bit.
At least once.
Yeah, at least once. But it is amazing to see that there is a market for a place like this. And speaking of that, I mean, like, in your travels now, like, with the AYA goes south, AYA goes west, have you seen any other, like you said, you know, it's a very unique idea. Have you seen anyone else trying to, like, do something similar to this? Like,
I mean, similar? No. No one's gone, you know, I can't remember the movie, but, you know, no one's gone full retard. No one's like, putting all the chips on the table for something like this. Now, lots of bars have taken on many more Amaro/Amari, it's the plural, and many more bitters and are, you know, sliding down that's what I consider a slippery slope to more spirit-forward and stirred drinks. But no one's gone as far as to say, you know what, yeah, we're going to pull juice. No juice. We're going to pull sugar. We're not going to use sugar in the drinks at this bar. I don't know that the public is 100% ready for that, and I feel, again,
but it seems like there's absolutely a market for it.
Because, yeah, they're like, coming out, and they're coming out in droves, you know, but I feel lucky that I'm in New York City. I'm surrounded by all of the best cocktail bars in New York City.
You literally are. Because
I'm
you're
nine
right
doors
there.
Down from Death & Company. I'm you know, just around the corner from PDT. I'm close to Nightcap and Evelyn Drinkery and Summit and Third Man and, you know, Angel's Share and Bar Goto, which just opened and I think is the most beautiful bar in New York City right now, with the exception, of course, of Grand Army.
Maya Wells on the street.
On the street with us. Yeah, it's just...
Pouring Ribbons. I mean, you're in the thick of it, man.
Right. So, like, that makes it kind of easy for me because, you know, it's a thing now. People travel to drink. You know, it's been a thing for decades that people, you know, go touring and eat food. But now cocktail... You know, and I don't use this in any derogatory sense, but cocktail nerds, they travel to drink. And so they come to the neighborhood and they go to all these great places. And I'm one of them, thankfully. I'm not saying I'm great, but I'm just saying I'm one of the places. And so, you know, they come in and they have their one or two drinks with me and then they move on. And there's a constant swirl of that happening. So I'm really lucky. I'm also lucky that I feel like in New York City, we're so densely populated, I could open a bar that sold broken glass and rusty nails. And there's at least enough people who would like that I'd be in business.
You mean rusty nails in broken glasses?
Yes.
Like scotch and drambuie in broken glasses?
I meant more just actual rusty nails and broken glass.
Come on. I saw the opportunity.
Yeah, I like it.
I had to take it.
So I feel like, you know, in New York, you've got such a populace that you could come up with any concept. And as long as you, you know, spun it right and sold
it. It's very fortunate.
There's enough people here that'll support it.
Sure.
Now, is that true of all these smaller markets? Man, going down there and seeing the turnout that comes. But now, don't forget, this turnout is for a one-off event. Would
sure.
there be enough to support it on a daily basis? Is there enough product? You know, like long ago, one of the first, I guess, pop-ups that we did for Amore Margo was in Richmond, Virginia. And we went, it's a, what's it called in state run? You know, it's state control.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Liquor authority, whatever. It's state run. And so they don't have as much choices of things. And we went down there to do our little pop-up. And, you know, one of the drinks on the menu that's been on the menu since the day we opened is the 8 Amaro Sazerac, a Sazerac build with 8 different Amari in it, 2 different types of bitters, and a glass rinse with chartreuse. Delicious. The whole state of Virginia only receives 8 Amaro.
Wow.
And not the 8 that were in that drink. So we had to literally bring everything with us to that one.
You drove down across state lines?
Oh, sure, man. Bootlegging.
Hell yeah, man.
Bootlegging modern style. Yeah, we just had to bring everything with us and do it and you know, make nice with the people. Now, again, that was literally within the first year of Amore being open. We got invited down there. But now we're at this place where we go to places and they have more. I think it's because of, you know, us banging on the drum and getting people interested. And so, you know, it's weird to think about the first rule of economics being, you know, supply and demand. And you usually think of it the opposite way. But in this regard, we have to think of it as we have to create a demand so that there will be a supply.
Right. Sure.
We have to demand that we want this product so that someone will eventually supply it to us.
Yeah.
And it's happening. It's happening here in New York, and it's happening in all these cities that I've gone to. It's been much easier this time around to go into places and be like, tweak our menu and work it based on what they have, but it's not like literally opening up the cupboards and seeing, you know, a crust of bread and a piece of cheese.
But
there's some stuff in there.
Yeah, but I feel like with you having this, well, what to me is the, like, when I go to Keen's, Keen's Steakhouse.
Love it. Mutton.
It's like, dude, yeah, get the mutton chop. Totally. Right. But like, I'm like, I can get any scotch under the sun, stars, moon in that place.
Oh, yeah.
But, you know, like, they just, I feel like it must be just amazing being like the buyer for that place. Like, anyone who comes in, like a whiskey rep, yep, I'll take it. Don't even have to sell me on it. I'll just buy it.
Yeah, I got multiple bars in here. I'm going to need at least 12 bottles just to start. So
yeah, exactly.
Just do it. Pull the trigger.
But you guys have, in the same way, you have like every bitter that's available pretty much.
Almost. And I can tell you how there's a few that escape my grasp. And it sucks because I want to have them all. Not because I particularly like them all. I love a lot of them, but of course there are some that I keep on the shelf as an example of what's not good, you know, so I can pour something on people. I'm not going to name any names on air, but like if you come to my bar, there are things I can pour you that and be like, this is sort of not a great example. And that's the same with any place. That's the same with whiskey. That's the same with tequila. You can have.
But that's also your opinion too.
Of course, it's all subjective.
There are things, you know, I like myself as a bartender. There are certain things that people like that I stock, and I'm just like, this is fucking awful. I would never drink this, but this is for you, not me.
Sure, of course. Yeah, yeah.
I don't have to drink it.
Right. But then, you know, beyond that, and by the way, that's not a reason. I get everything that's available.
Sure.
With a few exceptions. And those exceptions are unfortunate for me, and it's financial. My bar is really tiny, 240 square feet total. I do have some back storage, but not a whole lot. And there are a couple of Amari that are available through a distributor or two here and there, really small distributors, and only carry the one thing that I want. They have a case minimum or cost minimum that I can't afford to either spend or hold on to. I got no room to put that case of stuff that's probably going to move pretty slowly. So those are the only ones that I'm missing. And I think right now that's like literally four. There's like four bottles that I'd like to have on the bar that are available that I don't have.
Just put it in Austin Henley's closet or something.
Yeah, keep it at his house.
Speaking of keeping cases of booze in your house, I'd love to talk to you about your recent acquisition when we get back from this break.
Sure.
Of the very, very rare old whiskey that you just came across.
Yeah.
Yeah, so let's take a quick break and let's talk about that, man.
We can talk about that, and we can talk about the true definition of alcoholism.
All right. I can't wait to hear it and finally realize what that is by definition. Let's get back to it in a moment. We'll be talking with Souther Teague on Speakeasy. Take a quick break.
Today's program was brought to you by Fire Cider. Did your grandmother ever tell you to drink raw apple cider vinegar? It's good advice, and more common than you may think. For generations of New Englanders, a tot of vinegar was a morning ritual. Taken daily, a tablespoon of unfiltered apple cider vinegar can help support immune function and digestive functions. To the base of certified organic apple cider vinegar, Fire Cider added whole, raw, certified organic oranges, lemons, onions, ginger, horseradish, habanero pepper, garlic, and turmeric. They let this mixture steep for 6 weeks at room temperature to preserve the living vinegar culture and delicate flavors of the ingredients. Lastly, they blend a generous helping of raw wildflower honey into the mix. The result is potent but balanced, offering layers of sweet, tart, and spice. Fire Cider tastes great on its own or as an addition to tea, juice, or salad. Firesider ships direct from their online store and is available at over 500 locations nationwide. Use their store locator to find one near you and ask for a free sample. For more information, visit firesider.com.
And we are back. You're listening to Speakeasy, and we have Souther Teague in the studio right now. And we were just talking about some different bitter spirits. And actually, during the break, we just took a sip of this really amazing product by Distilleria Vernelli. Vernelli's a really cool distillery. They make some wild stuff. And this one is...
They make... Really some cool. Really great stuff. The three that we deal with the most at Amore Margo are the one that's here on the table for us today. It's called Fantasia Punch. Super unique in that it's got these big bursting notes of like toffee and butterscotch, but neither in a sweet sense. So like bitter toffee, bitter butterscotch, and then this kind of funky aroma that reminds me a lot of rum.
Yeah.
So in fact, today when we get done here, we're going to totter over to your place, and I'm going to make some drinks using this and rum. Basically an old-fashioned style cocktail with overproof rum, aged rum, and this
which I got to enjoy last week.
Yeah. With a bit of lime bitters. So it's got this kind of like groggy, noggy effect on the rum without any of the cream or juice or eggs or any of those other groggy, noggy ingredients.
Yeah.
I got another one here we'll taste next. One of my favorites, Amaro Montenegro, which I'm going to use in a cocktail over at your spot tonight as well. Montenegro is great for, I kind of use this as one of my sort of, you know, intro to Amaro. It's super lush. It's got big bursts of orange blossom, bitter orange. It's a gentian bitter, so gentian's a flower. So it's got this really floral center, and then the back part of it is all wet vegetables like cucumber and celery. So kind of a cocktail already, which I'm pretty famous for saying that about most Amari. They already are a cocktail.
Yeah.
Then we sort of force them into cocktails as well, which is kind of weird.
Well, yeah.
It's like, take my Manhattan and pour it into something else with other things and make a cocktail using the Manhattan.
Yeah, I mean, it's that's been an argument for a long time with most distilleries. I mean, most distillers, they're like, I worked really hard on like mixing these ingredients and then aging it this way and finishing it in this barrel. And what are you doing with it?
Yeah, lime juice and sugar. Shake it up. it's my considered opinion that no one anywhere put anything in a bottle and said to themselves, I've done it. This will go great with other stuff.
Yeah.
You know, they say, I'm finished here. Please enjoy. So anyway, we're going to taste some Vernelli Punch. We're already tasting. We're going to taste some Montenegro. You wanted me to tell you what the true definition of alcoholism was.
Yeah. I mean, we can talk about Ramazzotti.
I just learned it myself the hard way.
Yeah,
because I think I am one.
Yeah, I mean, we were talking last week, and you explained that to me, and I was like, oh, wow.
Yeah.
All right. So let it rip, man.
Yeah. So I'm gonna give you a little story about what happened, and then we'll come to that definition at the end organically, as I did when I looked in the mirror and at my bank account. So I'm sort of, I guess, weirdly known for being a drinker of Old Overholt rye whiskey. It's kind of my favorite rye whiskey, and didn't ever plan to, but someone approached me once with an old bottle of Old Overholt. The first one I got, I think, was 1944, expression, and it was expensive, but I bought it and I drank it pretty much right away. Like there's a part of me that feels a little weird and almost angry that those bottles still exist. Someone should have drank them already. They were made to be drank. But then there's the part of me that's selfish and is like, fuck yeah, I get to drink this.
Yeah.
And I'm super psyched. And I share it. I've never opened a single one of these bottles that I've purchased now many of in the past few years. I share them all. I want people to enjoy them with me. I think that's why people make spirits. It's camaraderie, it's communal, it's all those things that we love. And that's why we're in this business. We want to share stuff with people.
Sure.
That's why you're doing this radio show. You want to share with more
Absolutely.
People than I can fit in my bar. Or your bar combined, right?
Yeah.
So anyway, I got this reputation, and then suddenly, for the first time ever, so I bought, you know, several bottles over time, a couple bottles here, a couple bottles there, different years that people find, and they send me, or they send me information about it, and I judge whether I want to purchase it or not, and almost every time I do. A lady from Christie's, the auction house, swung into Amore Margo. to let me know that there was an auction of a great amount, 52 cases total, from ranging from 1904 to 1912, so all pre-prohibition juice, in fairly pristine condition. And she brought a bottle of 1909 and let me taste some, and then said, "We're doing the auction on Saturday." And so I went for the first time ever to Christie's Auction House, where they give you the little white paddle. It's very, very intimidating. And I bid with my buddy Max. We went in on it together because I didn't have the money to do it myself. And we bought a case of 1909, the same juice that she let me taste. That was just by accident. We were trying to bid in on the earlier stuff as well as some of the later stuff. But the only one we won was this one because there was a bidder on the phone from China who spent a little over $250,000 that day.
Okay.
But we spent well more than we could afford to spend on alcohol. And I think that's the definition of an alcoholic.
Yeah, totally, man.
Just to put it into perspective, I spent almost my year's rent in New York City on 12 bottles of whiskey that I'm sharing with a guy. So 6 bottles.
I'm an alcoholic.
Cha-ching. Speaking of alcoholism, let's pour some Amaro Montenegro, the one I just talked to you about. Monty's got a...
Oh, my God. Souther, you're crazy, man.
Monty, yeah.
It's good to have you back in the studio.
Yeah, yeah.
That's for sure.
Well, so... Oh, understand this, too. So I guess I could say this on the radio. Maybe it'll help my cause. I have to sell some of it. I haven't really been advertising it, and I haven't sold any of it yet, even though we picked this case up in October. I have one bottle on display at Amore Margo just to get people to talk about it, but I would never sell it there. It's just there to, you know, rattle people's cage. But Max and I decided we weren't going to open any of the bottles until we sell several of them so that it makes sense. We have to sell half.
Sure.
Six of them.
Sure.
We're going to sell 6 of them so that it makes sense that we bought what we bought. But once those 6 sell, I'll be opening a bottle probably that day. You're certainly invited to come. A bunch of friends come and hang out every time. Your recent guests, actually. Dave Wondrich has sat in with Robert O. Simonson and had some whiskey with me. And it's a lot of fun. So you're certainly invited.
I would love to do that. Actually, you know what? I'll take one of those bottles.
Oh, well, big man.
But just give me a year to not pay my rent.
It's not going to cost that, but it's about a month's rent for a bottle. I'll say it. We're selling them for $2,300. That makes us a little bit of profit, but we had to go all in and kind of go broke for a while to get them.
Yeah.
I'm frankly kind of just recovering my personal bank account from that endeavor.
I'll sell a guitar or something. I don't know.
Don't do that. Don't do that. So a little Amaro Montenegro. Cheers. To get us back into some alcohol.
I love Montenegro. This stuff is incredibly... Like you said, it's like a great intro to bitters in Amaro.
Yeah, it's got a pretty floral, and again, so it's floral from the gentian, which is the flower that makes it bitter. It's also floral from, it's got orange blossom in it, so it's got that florality as well as, you know, bitter orange peels. But so it's got this floral aroma, it's got this like really kind of floral, and, you know, again, people get intimidated all the time by Amaro because the word itself means bitter. But the definition of Amaro / Amari is bittersweet liqueur. Amaro are always sweetened with something. It's up to the maker. A lot of it's beet molasses or burnt sugar or caramel or honey. I don't exactly know what Monty is sweetened with. These guys are also super, I don't want to sound mean, but they're all paranoid. They're really paranoid.
They're super secretive.
Super secretive and really paranoid. They all think someone's going to go out and make their juice.
I mean, it's reasonable that they would feel that way because so many times throughout history people's recipes have been stolen, like especially in
I think there's certainly a little bit of reason for them to be nervous, but I've talked to lots, as you might imagine, lots and lots of makers of Amari, and I've begged them, frankly, to be at least a little bit more giving to your consumer with what's in the bottle. I don't need you to give me your you know, weights and measures.
Yeah. Sure.
But at least name the top 4 notes that I'm going to taste, and I can have an easier time selling to the consumer. You'll have an easier time when it's on just the shelves at the liquor store if it says 4 notes that are in there. Like, don't be so shy. No one's going to go rushing out to make their own Montenegro. These guys have been making this stuff since 1885. In fact, that's their slogan, every day since 1885. Like, they got it knocked.
Well, there's another thing about that, which is kind of an interesting point to make. If it has honey in it, then technically it might not be considered vegan.
Oh, we were talking about this before, too. Yeah.
Yeah, you guys, actually, within your company.
I'm going to pour. You have some beer over there. Pour a little beer in your Monty while we're talking. This is a traditional thing.
Yes, sir, man.
Listen to me. So this is what's known as a fleur de beer, right? When you take Amaro and you put it in your beer. So there's a little Monty in there, and we're drinking delicious.
Hey, man, it all mixes inside.
Yeah, right. We're drinking delicious beer. You know. So this is how it's really prevalent in Austria. This is how they drink beer. You just take a little Amaro, ounce and a half.
Oh, like Amerpicone.
Picone beer, yeah.
Picone beer, yeah.
So, yeah, it's Amer beer. Yeah. Picone being a specific Amer.
Sure, sure.
Amer means the same thing as Amaro. It's just French.
Yeah.
It means bitter.
It's delicious, by the way.
Yeah.
Just saying.
Yeah, right. So, and that's also, you know, a way to introduce people to Amaro. If they already have a beer in their hand that they like, top them up with a little Amaro, and then they'll be on their way.
Yeah,
back to your vegan thing, though. Yeah, we...
You guys recently, I was...
My company, you know, I'm just a small piece of this giant wheel. There's 16 places involved, but with one guy kind of in the center of it all. But we opened a vegan restaurant recently that's been killing it. It's called Avant Garden. It's on 7th and A in the Eastfield.
It's a great name, by the way.
One block away. Really, I made fun of the name. When Robbie told me the name, I thought he was kidding. And my immediate response was, why don't you just call it Garden of Eaton? Get it? Eaton. And he was like, no, it's Avant Garden. It's like really stone face, very serious. Oh, you were. Oh, gotcha. Yeah, sorry. But it's killing it. You know, I think I may have even been a little bit of a naysayer of the place, but I've eaten there twice. It's delicious. They're packed all the time. So now what we're doing is we're taking one of our newest venues, which is literally shares the kitchen with Amore Margo. It's called Mother of Pearl.
Which Jane and Austin were on.
Yeah. Jane Danger, Austin Henley. And we went on Valentine's Day. We went vegan. So no more honey, right? So then can't have Benedictine on the bar, can't have actual honey. No cream, no eggs, nothing like that on the bar itself. The food still remains, Polynesian inspired, but now it's all vegan as well. And we're not cracking the egg on this thing. We did our research. There's a bar that just opened in December out in San Diego called Kindred. It's a metal-themed bar that serves weirdly a lot of Amaro and a lot of crazy, awesome cocktails, and they're vegan as well. So we're not the first one.
It's amazing.
Right? You know, these things exist. Like I said, I think in a city as dense as New York, whatever it is you can come up with, someone's going to want it. And the fact that our vegan restaurant is so busy and Mother Pearl's only a block away, it's an easy send. Hey, wait around the corner at our vegan cocktail bar while you wait for your vegan dinner.
It's awesome.
It seems to make sense.
I mean, you've got a drink that's served in a shark shaped tiki mug, so
yeah,
that might
guy.
That might
hey
that might ruffle some feathers, but it's still vegan.
It's non-kill veganism.
Oh, you were saying something about that before too. How a friend of yours,
a friend of mine, talked his girlfriend into eating. I grew up in Florida. Talked his girlfriend into eating Jonah crab claws, even though she was vegetarian. She wasn't vegan, but vegetarian. I don't know if everybody knows how Jonah crab claws are done. You pull the crab out of the water and you tear off his largest claw. He only has two, but you throw him back in. He fends for himself with one claw. The other one grows back. And next year, the one that was smaller is now bigger. You rip that one off. But it's a no-kill protein that she'll eat.
That's amazing. That's mind-blowing.
Yeah, her whole issue was the death of the animal. So we're not killing this guy. Harvesting some
it's
of
like
his
eggs,
meat.
You're not like...
We're just harvesting some of his meat.
Yeah. Amazing. That's amazing.
Right?
Man. Another thing we were talking about, actually, was something we talked about last time when we saw each other was the gratuity.
Yeah, the
situation.
Movement away from that here, at least in New York, and maybe it's countrywide. I haven't paid enough attention.
I think it's interesting to see the progression of like what's going on with the decision to do or not.
I think it's a really hot topic for debate. You know, the USHG, is that what it is? USHG? It's Union Square Hospitality Group. Yeah, that's Danny Meyer's company. Really a stalwart player in the game of hospitality. And he does it by selling food and drinks. And I think that's how I think about it too. I do hospitality. I do it by selling drinks. He has decided to, over time, roll his entire company into a system of non-tipping, and it's a topic of hot debate among those who work in the industry, like you and I, those who own, like you and I, and operate. So Yeah, I would love to maybe get back on the show with you and someone who's on the other side of the fence from me. I'm against it, frankly. And maybe have a discussion on air. What do you think about that?
Yeah, I would love to. I mean, like, as not only as like a someone who works in the industry as a bartender and who's a bar owner, but it's someone who goes out and like I go out and spend money and I want to go see my friends and I want to tip them well. So it's like to take the gratuity away. Even when I'm in Europe,
and somehow you're taking part of your experience. I see what you mean. Yeah,
yeah. It's like, man, like I really want to go out and treat myself, but also treat my friends that I go to see while I'm going out. Yeah. And you know, like I said, like even when I'm in Europe, I know it's kind of ridiculous to say, but I still tip. I still tip, even though it's not supposed to be like.
I mean, a thing I have so much to say on the topic, and I know we're at the end of the show. I would really love to
schedule another show.
I know several folks who work in places that are switching to that, and maybe we could recruit.
Let's get a crew together and let's have a show for
at least a couple of us. That way, there's I think you and I are on the same page. So if we sit here and talk about it, it's very one sided. I think we should get
We got to get the committee together.
Yeah, let's maybe by then I can crack open one of those 09s.
I would love to have one of those 1909. Can you even imagine that show? We get a bunch of people in here debating the tip situation over a bottle of 1909 Old Overholt rye. I think it's going to be a great show.
I mean, I have a bottle of 1940 that I've yet to open.
Shut the fuck up. One I bought. God damn it. You're just bragging at
this point. No, I didn't think of it until I said I would bring it, but I don't know if I'm going to sell those six before whenever the show might be planned, and we need to do this show soon because it's a hot topic.
Yeah.
But I do have a bottle of 1940 that I haven't opened, not for any reason other than I just haven't gotten to it. I bought three of that lot, and I've already drank two, so there's still one standing.
Well,
maybe I'll bring that. That'll entice some people to come talk about tips. Nick Bennett. Nick Bennett. It's his birthday today. Nick Bennett, happy birthday.
Oh, it is his birthday. Yeah. Happy birthday, Nick Bennett. We should definitely get him on the show because he's like definitely... He would be a great part of this conversation.
Absolutely. He's a smart guy. I have had a brief conversation with him recently about this topic, and he says he's totally on board with it. I say I'm totally not. I'd love to sit down and talk to you. You're an intelligent person who's in this field, who I respect. I think he feels the same about me and you, and maybe we can have an intelligent conversation about it. I don't want to just spout off my view and have no counterpoint. Seems pointless.
I mean, we can do it
Seems counterpointless.
We'll do it over blue drinks and 1940 Overholt.
I love it. Nick will bring the blue drinks, and I'll bring the old Overholt.
Nice. So it's always a great time fucking talking to you, man. I'm really glad to have you back here in the studio.
Thank you.
I'm also very excited to have you at my bar tonight.
Yeah.
From 5 to 7. Everyone that's listening out there, come by to Grand Army at 3:30. 6 State Street, State and Hoyt, in downtown Brooklyn. So there's going to be whipping up some drinks from Amoria Margo's menu. And, actually, what's really cool is I think we can actually pull this off. Last time he was on the show, which was just 54 weeks ago, he said that if he can recreate any cocktail that they've had on the Amoria Margo menu,
mm-hmm.
because the bottles are always there.
Right. We don't use anything that doesn't come out of a bottle. So as long as the bottle exists, and some have disappeared, don't forget that.
That's true.
Bottles disappear through distributorship changes or whatever. But as long as the bottles are on the bar, I can recreate any drink we've ever done at Amoria Margo, and that's part of our ethos. I don't like it when you walk into a bar and you say, man, I was here last summer and I had this drink. They say, well, we made this crazy syrup for that drink. We don't make that syrup anymore. We can't make that drink. We don't have that issue anymore. We don't make anything in-house. Everything comes out of a bottle.
Yeah.
So tonight we're going to make some drinks. One of the three is on the menu currently. One was on the menu, and one has never been on the menu. So we're going to use the Varnelli Punch. We're going to use Montenegro, and we didn't get to taste it today, but we're going to use Fernet Branca in the third drink.
We've tasted it.
Oh, we've tasted that stuff before. It's great with Coca-Cola.
When you're in Argentina.
Yeah. But sort of in the style of Amoria Margo, which is we really only make three drinks. We make old fashions, Manhattans, and Negronis, and the variations thereof. So tonight you have one old fashioned, one Manhattan, one Negroni.
Totally. And you know what?
One bourbon, one shot, one beer.
Absolutely.
One scotch, one beer. Yeah.
So come by tonight.
5 to 7, right?
5 to 7. Yeah. Yep, absolutely. And have some really awesome stirred bitter cocktails with me and Souther and the whole gang. Thanks again, Souther. It's always a pleasure having you,
hey,
man.
Thank you, buddy.
And we'll set up that show to where we can talk about the gratuity thing.
Let's because do it.
It's a hot topic, and we need to talk about it soon.
Can we get phones and have people call in? That'd be crazy.
I think we definitely can.
That's what I like.
Who has a landline anymore?
I don't know.
Well, the studio does.
We'll give out your phone number. Damon's phone number is 917. Oh, wait.
Ah! No, it's not. It's a Oklahoma number. All right.
Mine's New Orleans still.
It sure is.
Yeah.
I see it every time.
Yeah.
All right. That's it for the show this week. Come join us at Grand Army tonight at 5 to 7. And then tune in to Heritage Radio Network for many, many other programs just like this one. Except probably not as fun because we had a blast, right?
Yes, sir.
All right. Till then, cheers.
Cheers, buddy.
Listening to this program on heritageradionetwork.org. You can find all of our archive programs on our website or as podcasts in the iTunes store by searching Heritage Radio Network. You can like us on Facebook and follow us on Twitter at @heritage_radio. You can email us questions anytime at info@heritageradionetwork.org. Heritage Radio Network is a 501c3 nonprofit. To donate and become a member, visit our website today. Thanks for listening.